All right, we've made it. This is it.
We're here.
The very first HSM podcast is now being recorded, and
it's
in the books.
I love it.
And we've arrived.
I'm so happy. Hey, I'm Eric.
And this is Rob.
Dude, this is my dream come true. I love podcasts. I love you, Rob. I love that we're going to be having real, raw, honest conversations about things that actually matter. Like, this is going to be so cool.
I know. And the best part is that the people that are listening that know who are, like, they are the ones providing the content. It's not like we're sitting here saying, what are we going to talk about?
Exactly.
We have so many people pouring in, so much great content, questions that they really want to know the answer.
You're killing it, Rob. And that's exactly what we want, is we want to hear your questions. We want to hear your thoughts, the things that you're struggling with. And we're just going to offer a few of our thoughts. We're just going to share some ideas. In fact, we had tons of questions come in. We had a question come in that says, how do I get my husband to stop snoring? I'm kind of thinking, Rob, that might have been our wives. I'm not sure.
Probably yours.
But we also had some really deep, good questions as well. We had someone ask, do we have bodies in heaven? Great question.
Wow.
We had some people throw out, are miracles real? Whoa. Like the Holy Spirit. How do you know if he's working in your life? Relationships. Is it okay to date somebody who doesn't follow Jesus? What does the Bible say about peer pressure? What is up with the book of Revelation? What about marijuana? Just saying, it got asked. Marijuana, A-okay?
Wait, that's taboo. We're Christians. We can't talk about that.
Exactly. But on this podcast, on the HSM podcast, we get real, we get raw, we get honest.
And again, the best part about this, we may put out the Instagram, the Facebook message.
The Instagram,
yesterday.
Rob.
The Instagram.
The Instagram, really?
Well, just like how in Southern California, you say we travel on the 5 or the 15.
Fair enough.
It's
fair
the
enough.
Instagram. We just put this out like 24 hours ago, and people have been already contributing.
It's been great.
And so even while you're listening to this podcast
and
right
not
now,
just our moms.
That's
like,
right.
Like, not just our moms. Like
My dog and my cat.
Multiple people.
Yes.
We have our life group. We're a part of our life group.
Yes.
Callie, one of our friends in our life group, submitted some really great questions. We have some students. We had a student named Cedric who threw out some great questions.
Hey,
I even got a question from a parent in our ministry.
That's really
which
cool.
Which is really, really cool.
And that intro you heard at the very beginning.
Yes.
That was actually custom mixed
by
one of our former HSM students
who
is a volunteer now at Purpose Church Pomona. And Eric, who is that?
That's the one and only Ben Berry. You can actually find him on SoundCloud. He produces, he mixes, he DJs. His Twitter handle is at B_Berry77. So
yeah, we want to feature you, not only your questions and your content, but you might, hey, I record stuff. Like
that's
I can sing, I can play the synthesizer, whatever it is.
That's right.
We want to maybe feature your song as one of our intros or outros.
Yeah. And hey, we're going to try to be timely with this stuff too, right? I mean, we're gonna keep these to about 30 to 45 minutes.
Right.
We're going to throw a little cool music in between per Rob's suggestion, which I think is the realest.
So Eric, you said all these people are sending great questions.
Yes.
They're like, oh, what are all these? But if they're just tuning in right now, they're hearing this podcast for the first time.
That's right.
How can they get involved?
All right. So two ways that you can call us, text us, or email us is this 909-713-4152. So send us a text, leave a voicemail, call us, whatever. 909-713-4152.
Now, am I going to get spammed? Am I going to get
absolutely
all this like, stuff?
Absolutely not. Nothing, none of that. We just want to hear from you so that we can address you. And if you go ahead and leave your name, then we can even give you a shout out in the podcast, like my boy Cedric did. From HSM. So,
and are you going to like send me like weird scripture things or like I'm going to
no
pray for
thing
you
as weird
or someone's going to knock on my door?
No, not from us. No,
okay.
People might knock on your door, but it won't be one of our
people. Okay. So, people can just ask these questions,
and
we are just going to be real and honest. We're not going to like follow up and say, did you listen to us?
That's
get your answer?
Now, some people may want to like share a story, or some people may want to write a more detailed sort of struggle that they're having. The best way to do that is email us. You can do that at purposehsmpodcast@gmail.com. So if you want to share a longer story with us, some bigger thoughts with us, if you want to share an article that you want us to discuss, send that to us at purposehsmpodcast@gmail.com.
So that's how people can submit content, kind of ask their questions, but we also have a great website.
We do. purposechurch.com/HSM podcast.
And you can go onto that website, and every single podcast we do is going to be thrown up there. But of course, you can just subscribe on iTunes, and the podcast can be automatically downloaded to your phone, your iPad, your Mac.
This is a big intro, but I'm telling you, this is going to be a big podcast.
This is. Okay. And so, Eric, you've kind of already mentioned that so many people have texted in, and not just like high school students, but parents and former students. And so, I guess the question is, who is this podcast for?
Yeah, that's a great question, Rob. This podcast is for everyone, right? I mean, this podcast is for students. This podcast is for college kids. This podcast is for parents, for our friends, for our family, for whoever wants to listen and participate in this discussion. And let me just say from the get-go, Rob, you and I are not claiming to be the Bible Answer Man. We're not claiming to have all authority on any of these issues.
Well, one
or
of us
topics.
Does have a like a graduate degree of Bible of some kind.
You're right. Rob does. I don't. But here's the thing. We are going to share our thoughts, and we're going to be honest, and we're going to be real.
And we're going to try to always base it on Scripture.
Yeah.
We're always going to try to make sure we point it back to Jesus.
Booyah.
Because that's the reason why we're here.
Booyah. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. So there's you have it, the intro. When we come back, Eric, we're going to actually jump into one of my favorite segments, best and worst of the week so far.
Oh, I've got a lot
to
share.
Kind of like the highs and lows of what's going on because we're real people. We're not just like holy people that sit in this temple and just glean knowledge from God. We actually have lives. We have wives. We have kids. And sometimes
we have knives.
Wives, knives, and kids.
And lives. Yeah.
Yes, all those things. We're going to come back, talk about that, and then we're actually going to get our main discussion, which tease them out a little bit. What is our main discussion today?
So here's the question we're going to kind of wrestle with, and this came in from a viewer or a listener, almost a listener, I guess. In a relationship, should you be equally yoked?
Say no more.
Hey, we're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about what is their purpose.
All right, and we'll come right back after this little break. You're listening to HSN, the inaugural HSN podcast, right here. And we'll be back after this. All right, you're back. This is the HSN podcast, the very first episode.
Wow.
With Rob. Eric's right here next to
me. That's right.
And Eric, this is like your dream. You
came
to me
true.
And you're like, Rob, we got to do a podcast.
We got it. Because you're the man. And I knew that you would make this so fun and it would be an absolute blast. And it already has been. In fact, you know what I like thinking about too? Is where our listeners are right now. Like some of them might be in their car. Some students might be walking to school. You could be in the middle of a workout. You could be bored hanging out by yourself. You could be at the Grand Canyon.
Or you could actually take intention, like, I'm going to wake up and listen to this podcast because I know it's going to encourage me.
Oh, my gosh. That would be awesome. So, hey, we are so stoked that you're here with us.
That's right. And again, throughout the entire podcast or throughout the entire week, we are always taking questions from you guys. We have a telephone number that you can text us. It's anonymous. And we just want to hear from you because you guys drive the content of our show. So that number is 909-713-4152. If you have something that's on your mind right now, text it in. Or you can even call and leave a voicemail, actually.
Booyah.
And you can send us an email at
PurposeHSMPodcast@gmail.com.
Okay. So like we've teased, the best and worst of the week so far. So
got it.
This is a segment that we love to do here on the podcast because we've done it so many times.
Such a tradition.
And the question is, what was the best thing that's happened so far? And what's the worst thing that's happened so far?
Okay, cool. Well, Rob, let me just kick us off.
You jump us off with the best.
The absolute best part of this week, besides beginning this podcast, has been you and me and our wives had a game night. And here's the thing. We've got kids, and we're pretty used to going to bed early and living semi-boring lives. And so
speak for yourself.
Okay. So it's really fun to do things like game nights. And so we had that game night. You introduced me to two new games. I'm going to be honest. Out the get-go, I judged you. I was like, Rob, these are lame games. This is your B-level.
They weren't Monopoly, Trouble, or Chutes and Ladders.
No, it wasn't the classics. It was Wink,
and
it was Coup. Dude, I had a conversion experience. I'm telling you, Coup is so much fun. It's a quick 5-minute game. You're overcoming the world or something, but it's awesome and amazing. Wink, so hilarious. Rob, in fact, said this. Robin Becker said this. Great game for like your first time meeting some people because it's all about intense eye contact. So if you can picture like the most awkward eye contact moment, that's this game on steroids.
It's great. So Rebecca and I have played this game literally with like a few people who just joined my wife's school and like, oh, come on over to meet, hang out with us.
Yeah.
And that's the game we played. I had no idea who these people are.
I love it.
But two of the people are like, oh, this is kind of fun. There's one couple that was just like, I don't want to play that again.
Yes.
So that was kind of good. All right, so that's the best. My best, Eric.
Yeah.
I'm a techie guy. I know that you love your tech stuff.
Yeah.
You got your Mac.
But you are in a whole different echelon.
Well, I like to say that I would be an early adopter.
Yeah.
But
I like to say technology is like one of the love languages. You know what I mean? Like if there was a sixth love language,
physical touch, it'd be technology,
physical touch, and technology. That would be
physical
our love
touch
language.
With technology.
Yeah, that's actually what my wife says, is that my technology is my love language.
So my technology I just recently purchased was a robotic vacuum.
Oh my gosh.
Now, most people call it Roomba. Like fair that's enough. The popular brand.
Yeah.
But I bought a off-brand, which no one's really never heard of, but it does it does a better job. Ah. It's called the Nido.
Ah, so the Roomba to the Nido.
Yes, fair and enough. So it actually electronically maps the room and then takes the most efficient path, because Roomba just kind of like goes like in and out, kind of wiggles and hits drawers and it goes back and forth, but Nido actually electronically maps the room and takes the most efficient route. It's actually really good.
Wow.
And my wife says, my chores have never gotten better.
That's amazing.
And I'm just going to let her believe that I keep doing it.
That's incredible.
So
that's incredible.
That's the best part of my week so far.
Have you seen the YouTube videos of the Roombas or the Nidos rolling over dog poop in the house and then smearing it all over carpet and all over the home? Have you seen those videos?
I haven't.
You should watch them. They're amazing. They're incredible. Also, just want to throw this out there. Rob's shirt is off at this point in the podcast. He's taking his shirt off.
Let's get back on track. So, Eric, the worst. What is the worst of this week so far?
The worst thing about this week, I would say, Rob, what is it? I forgot. What is my worst?
You were perhaps discussing...
Oh, man, what was it?
How about I go? All right, so the worst part of this week so far is we're trying to wean Robbie, my son, off of a bottle that he usually gets at like 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. He'll just wake up and just want to be comforted. But we're trying to help him sleep because Eric, thanks to me, my wife is with child again.
Wow.
So
big news for the podcast. That's exciting.
So we're trying to help my son learn how to comfort himself to sleep. And so it's been, it's been a couple of rough nights. It's been a lot of crying and he'll eventually go down, but it's like, it kind of breaks your heart a little bit. And so you can't go to sleep if your child's upset. So anyway, that's the worst of my week so far.
That's awesome. Rob.
That's not really awesome, but
I mean, that's horrible. Rob, for the life of me, cannot remember what the worst of my week was. Do you remember what we were talking about?
I guess we'll have to get back to that. All right. So, Eric, how about this? We're going to take another quick break, and we're going to jump in to our main discussion, which is about relationships. We got a few questions on our text message line, and there are some great questions about relationships, but there's really one that kind of like hits the nail on the head. And so we're really going to dive into that. We're actually going to read it verbatim from one of our one of our fans. And so when we come back, we're going to get into our main discussion. And again, we're so glad you're here, Eric. Did you remember?
Oh, I did. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Rob. You know what it was?
Okay. The worst part about my week. My wife is absolutely convinced. She's an amazing woman. She is so kind. She is a truth teller 99% of the time. This may be a 1% of the time where she's exaggerating. She thinks that I have sleep apnea, okay?
Oh.
I don't think I have sleep apnea. She thinks I do. She has commissioned me to call the doctor to schedule my sleep apnea appointment. The problem is this doctor has like the worst callback response system ever. And so he never calls me back. So I find myself for hours on the phone trying to schedule a sleep apnea appointment. And I don't even think that's cool. I'm honestly really insecure about this. Like, I don't want to have the sleep machine. I'm not cool with that right now. But my wife thinks I have it and need it. So the hardest thing for me right now is this issue of sleep apnea.
I'm sorry.
Thank you so much.
I mean, people like snuggle you at night to help you sleep, or
I mean that would be ideal, I guess.
All right, Eric, we'll talk about our snuggling, but for now, we're going to take our break, and we're going to come back and get our main discussion about relationships. A great question for one of our listeners and one of our students in HSM. All right, we'll be right back.
All right.
Right, and we're back. This is the first ever HSM podcast recording, and I'm excited to be here. Eric, are you excited to be here?
I am absolutely stoked out of my mind.
Wow.
To be here.
I'm so glad, Eric.
Me too, buddy.
We're actually losing a little bit of sleep to do this, but I'm stoked about it.
Our families are asleep.
Yes.
It's the middle of the night, and we're just kind of hanging out.
All right. So we, as promised, are getting into our main discussion.
Yes.
Again, this coming from our text line, which, again, if you have a question during any part of this podcast, we are always listening to this text line, always trying to get new content for our next podcast.
Yep.
And you can text it in at 909-713-4152. Again, that's 909-713-4152. Email purposehsmpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right.
And then we have our website, which, again, you can find all of our podcasts. If, or iTunes, if you're just going to do that.
Yep.
It's at purposechurch.com/HSM podcast.
Now, hey, Rob, we had a bunch of people texting about relationships. And obviously that is like a really, really big topic.
Well,
and
especially because it's almost Valentine's Day.
True. Oh, my gosh. We need to be thinking. Have you thought about what you're getting your wife for Valentine's
Day? Absolutely.
I'm the worst at this. I'm the worst.
I'm gonna
need some ideas. But here's the thing. We're all thinking about relationships, right? And so one of our listeners texted in this question. Is it okay in a relationship to be unequally yoked? So she's referring to this Bible passage that we're going to get to in a second. Do you think it's okay to date someone who is not a believer in hopes that they will become a Christian? I know a few couples who are married now with thriving marriages that did not start this way, but now are both loving Jesus. What advice do you give to someone who is in that place? Wow. What an incredible, incredible question. Rob.
Really,
I want to jump into this passage real quick because it's a really, really interesting passage. The person who texted this in is referencing 2 Corinthians 6:14, where it says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers." What's really interesting about this word yoked in the Greek is, which is what the New Testament was originally written in,
yes,
the word actually means to be mismated. Mismated. So as if to be mismatched with your mate. So there is definitely some kind of marriage tone there within this word.
Right. Can I be honest?
Yeah.
Like when I heard this verse for the first time, I'm thinking like, why is God talking about eggs? Like, why is Paul talking about yokes?
Yeah, fair enough.
That's a great question. Yoke together. It's more of a livestock kind of term and phrase of being like tied and connected together. But it also has to do with relationships. And this is really, really, really important, Rob, because the first thing we want to say is that God is all about relationships, right?
Right. He made Adam and Eve.
He made Adam and Eve, right? And here's what's crazy. We believe that as followers of Jesus, that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit always existed, right? And they were always in perfect relationship with each other. They create Adam, right? And then the first thing in the garden that isn't good, there's so much that's good, right? All the animals and the plants and the sea and the stars. And I mean, it's all good, right? Like God is creating and he's just like, boom, boom, this is good, this is good. First thing he says that's not good in the garden is that Adam is without a partner. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that's just applying to marriage. I think that's just relationships, that God created us, hardwired us for relationships. Now, when you think about dating and when you think about marriage, the question we need to ask ourselves, we are wired for relationships. What is that purpose? And this is where I think that is a really important question to ask, because if the purpose of relationships and marriage is your happiness, or you having beautiful kids someday, or you living the American dream, or whatever it may be, if that's the purpose of relationships or marriage, then do whatever you want to do. But biblically, the purpose of relationships and the purpose of marriage is so much bigger than even just this time and place right now. In fact, we believe that the purpose of relationships and the purpose of marriage is to prepare a husband and wife, to prepare in the context of a friendship, to prepare two people to be eternally in relationship with Christ. And so another way of saying it is the goal of, you know, Sarah and I's marriage as husband and wife, the goal is that I sharpen her, that she sharpens me, that we both play this really unique role in preparing one another for eternity with Christ. And so if that's the purpose of relationship, if the purpose of marriage is to prepare one another through challenging each other, through inspiring, through offering encouragement and hope and conviction to one another, if the purpose and the hope of that is to ultimately be in relationship with God for eternity and to play this really cool role. And it blows my mind that God has picked me to play this unique role in Sarah's life, where one day she is going to enter into eternity with Jesus, and part of her readiness and part of her who she is at that moment will be a result of the fact that I got to be married to her. Man. And in the same goes for her with me. I mean, even more so, right? Like, I am jacked up in every way. And the fact that she will, for the lifetime of our marriage, be the person who God uses primarily to shape me and to challenge me and to make me into the person that he wants me to be is just incredible. Because here's the thing, and this is tough news for everyone listening probably, and Sarah loves when I bring this up, marriage has an expiration date. It just does, right? Jesus said it.
No. Every love story that I hear on TV and things like that, love goes on forever.
I mean, yes, love goes on forever, but in terms of husband and wife being married going on forever, biblically, no. Because marriage has a bigger purpose and it is not an end to itself, but marriage is actually a means and a tool and a process by which God changes us and shapes us. So fast forward, that's a lot of theology Bible talk. But hold on, Rob, because this is important, this is significant. So now it goes back to, she's 14 years old and she's trying to figure out who to date, exactly. Right? And she's trying to figure out, man, do I want to date this boy or that boy? Or, man, this guy's really hot or he's Snapchat's
he's
blowing
cute,
he's
popular,
up. Like... Right. And I get all that stuff. And maybe it's a guy and he's going, man, this girl, she's so cute. She's so cool. We like all the same music. But that relationship with Jesus isn't there. I would say you need to avoid him. I would say, man, if you're sensing that you want to be in a relationship with somebody, you've got to be in a relationship with somebody who also loves Jesus, because only in that context can that person truly help you and truly prepare you for eternity with God. As well, I'm just telling you, there are going to be so many practical situations where in terms of boundaries, what are going to be those boundaries? You need to have the same belief in Christ that anchors you to make the decision to say, hey, we aren't going to push these boundaries. We are going to honor God with our relationship. When it comes to how do you spend your time, when it comes to how do you spend your money, I mean, Rob, think about it. For you and I as husbands and in the relationship we have with our wives, the fact that we follow Jesus comes up all the time, right? It shapes how you spend your money, shapes how you spend your time, shapes how you what your priorities are, shapes the way you parent. I mean, it really has full control over our lives.
Right. And well, so I like the second part of that question, because like they didn't start that way. So like, how did this relationship that was unevenly yoked and not all about God or all about Jesus, how do these people make it through there? And like, the one thing I would just add to that is that when you're in a relationship, whether it's with Jesus or just some other person, is there commitment? Is there this desire and this passion? Like, it doesn't matter what happens to me or what happens, goes on, I'm committed to this person, right? Because in marriage, like, a lot of people, like, the statistics say, are like 50% are divorced.
Yeah.
And we look at that and say, why is that happening? Yeah. It's because people, like, they say, oh, I fell out of love, or I just couldn't figure this out, or like usually it's like my spouse didn't step up in this way, or they didn't do this. And they take the same thing with Jesus. Like, Jesus wasn't there for me. He didn't step up in this way. And I sit there and say, like, when you have a commitment to somebody, you're there through the good times and bad, right? And our marriage vows, we are, you know, first thing that popped in my mind is, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I am with you. wow. But for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and health.
Yeah. Well, Rob, I want to comment too on one thing that you just said that I thought was really, really interesting. Is that, you know, the divorce rate is so high, and we're so quick to want to blame, you know, the other person. This person didn't make me happy. This person didn't fulfill this desire that I had. You know, I'm changing and I'm just not interested anymore. I'm convinced that, and this is kind of, you know, one of the things I think about when I think about marriage, is that marriage is like this giant magnified mirror. You know, when you go to hotels, right? We've all been to those motels where there's those big fat mirrors that are multiplied like 100 times, right? And you look in those mirrors and all of a sudden you see your face in a way. You see all of the acne, you see all the wrinkles, you see kind of in HD zoomed up 1080. I mean, you're seeing your face like you've never seen it before, right? My thinking on marriage is that that's kind of what marriage is that when you enter into that marriage relationship with somebody, they become for you this big mirror that reveals just the really beautiful sides of yourself and also the really broken sides of yourself. And I'm convinced that the majority of people get divorces because the picture they see in the mirror they don't like. Mm-hmm. And rather than taking ownership for it, rather than saying, oh man, because my wife is a follower of Jesus, she's revealing to me the areas of my life that are broken, and this is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to transform me and change me. Instead of going with that view, they go, this is your fault. The reason I'm acting this way, the reason I feel this way, the reason I'm broken is your fault. And so the problem is you, when maybe that's true some of the time, but I would say the majority of the time, the problem is within me, right? Mm. Like sin resides in me. Brokenness resides in me. And your wife or your husband has this really unique opportunity to be that big mirror for you. And in the context of a loving, gracious, committed marriage, this is why you don't have sex before marriage, because within the commitment of marriage, that's when all that safety and all that love can be expressed. And that's also the place where you can get real, raw, and honest. It's the mm-hmm. place where you can say, hey, husband, hey, wife, can we talk about this? Because this isn't working. And I'll say this, I've said this before, man, Sarah is, my wife is the most gracious, kind, loving woman I know, but she has said some very honest, necessary, harsh words with me. There have been times where in our marriage, she has said to me, Eric, I feel like you love the church more than you love me and love our family. Mm-hmm. And oh man, that just like, that killed me, right? I've got sure. Charlie and Brinley and Lila and Sarah, who I love and I adore. And the fact that she was feeling that way, I can either blame her and say, no, this is your problem. Or I can say, man, maybe there's something in me that needs to change. And those words are harsh, but they come from a woman who's committed to me, who's committed to Jesus, who wants to be a part of me becoming the version that God desires me to be.
Right. And I just to add to that, Eric, you said everything so eloquently. Man, you're such a good pastor. Where'd you get your degree from?
Oh, stop. You. I love you.
I would just add to all that. There's when you're in this committed relationship, it has to be, you said it so many times, that your relationship with Christ needs to be first and foremost. Yes. And that connection you have with, like, yes. your relationship with God has to be so strong. Yes. And just speaking on personal experience, I had a lot of dating relationships in high school and even going into college. And it was when I finally decided, like, you know what, my relationship and my need for Christ yeah. is so much stronger, or needs to be so much stronger That's than good. My desire and need for a girlfriend or
That's
a spouse.
Good. That's good.
That I really made the decision that I need to be in this place of God, you're first, and yeah, God, you're priority.
Yeah.
And then once that was in line, it was incredible to that God put Rebecca, my now wife, right in front of me. Mm. And that she was in line with that too. She was seeking after God, and we were able to do that together even yeah. better. Yeah. As you like to say, we are better together.
Wow.
And my wife and I were better together, mm. pursuing Christ together, and we encourage each other to continue to do that, even through the good times and the bad times.
And Rob, isn't that key? I love what you said, that you recognize that your relationship with Christ had to be preeminent. It had to be the first. It had to be the priority, because otherwise, if it's not, and this is so key, if your relationship with Christ is not the first priority in your life, in other words, if you are not going to Jesus as the God of your life, you will replace that person with Becca, right? You will replace we are all looking for a God in our lives. We're all looking for somebody to follow. We're all looking for somebody to put in that place. And if it's not Jesus, then we're going to put our jobs, we're going to put our relationships, we're going to put our sexuality, we're going to put the finances we make, we're going to put the school we go to. Something is going to become the thing that we worship and bow before. And the problem with putting your spouse up there is all of a sudden you enter into a codependent relationship with them, right? Where you... Wow, excuse me, I just burped online. Where all of a sudden you're expecting them to be something that they were never created to be. Mm. You're expecting them to fill a void that they were never created to fill. And what will ultimately happen is you will become bitter and resentful towards them.
Yes.
Because they will not be able to fill that void, because ultimately your relationship with Christ needs to be the very first thing in your life, the most important thing. And then as husband and wife, as flawed, broken, beautiful, sinners saved by grace, that you together are able to love and serve and care for each other and grow together. But I want to go back to dating real quick. So some people maybe listening are just beginning a relationship. Or, you know, and I like to say, man, if you're thinking about dating someone, get to know them and become best friends for 6 months, right? Like hang out for 6 months, become best friends for 6 months before you even enter into, that dating relationship. But maybe some of you are there or you're about to begin dating. Here are just three quick things I think you need to hold on to. The number one thing that I think you need to hold on to, and this is, we just kind of got done talking about this. Number one, rule number one is this: keep Christ first. Right? Keep him number one in your life. That it, just because this new girl, this new guy is in your life and you're all crazy about him or her, keep Jesus number one. And so make sure you're pursuing time with him, investing in that relationship. Number two, make sure that you're keeping your friends close, right? We've all had those friends who all of a sudden they got a girlfriend, they got a boyfriend, and dude, they are gone, right? Like there's tumbleweeds rolling by. You don't even know what's happening in their life. So you can't see them.
I was that guy.
You were that guy. You were that guy. And you know what? What ends up happening? They break up with that girl. They come on back and you're like, dude, where have you been? You know what I mean? So keep your friends close, man. Keep your friends close. Make your relationship with your friends priority. And lastly, number three, make sure that everything you do as boyfriend and girlfriend is honoring to God. I remember early on in Sarah and I's dating relationship, I would think in my mind as I was driving over her house to pick her up, I'm like, okay, what witty story can I tell? What funny joke? What awesomely creative thing can I woo her and impress her with?
And you did it every time.
Every single, no. I honestly, I remember stressing out and being filled with so much anxiety. And one time I was driving to her house and I felt like God just said to me, hey, you know what? I care more about you honoring her and respecting her. Honor her, respect her, focus on that. And I remember just feeling this sense of relief and going, you know what? That really is the priority. The priority is that everything about Sarah and I's relationship ultimately brings us closer to Christ and ultimately honors and glorifies Christ. And I think especially as a high school student or as a college student or as a young adult, man, what an awesome way to show the world that is so confused on what the purpose of relationships is. How cool to show the world, to be an example, to really be salt and light in the world where you're making the world better. To interact in a way with your boyfriend or girlfriend in such a way that brings honor and glory to God, not just self-satisfaction. Satisfaction. Dang it. I wanted to have a good quote and it's just satisfaction.
You know what, Eric? Yeah. There's something I really wanted to get into and we didn't get a chance, but we're going to take a quick break and here's the tease.
Okay.
I bet you people are wondering, how did such average Joes get such trophy wives?
Miracles still happen, right? Yes. And there is a God.
There is a God. There so when God. We come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how Eric and I got these great, amazing wives. And then we're going to get into our goals discussion, which, again, that's a great segment we're going to get into. Wow. And then our free form frenzy.
Yeah, we're just going to answer a handful of your questions off the cuff real quick. It's going
to
be great.
All right. When we come back, we'll get to all that in our very first inaugural HSM podcast. All right, and we are back. Our inaugural very first episode of the HSM podcast.
That's right.
This is Rob. Eric's right next to me. And we had a great discussion, Eric. Again, a lot of great stuff coming.
Rob, you have such a great voice. You have such a great podcast radio voice. I'm blown away right now.
Well, my mother says, I have a face for radio.
I love your mom.
Yes.
In a special way.
I have a feeling your parents and my parents,
they'd be besties.
They really would.
They would have been
like best friends in high school. They would have loved each other. Because we love each other.
Yes, it's a Philos kind of love.
But there is a love that goes deeper than the love you and I share, and it's the one we have with our wives.
Oh, I was going to say, it's closer than a brother.
This is true. You and I may be Jonathan and David, but we have these relationships with these wives, and you wanted to kind of share your story. So tell us real quick in like 2 minutes, how did you meet Becca? That's
wow, great. Look at you becoming the host. This is great.
I'm taking over.
All right, so it also, like I said, I dated a lot of people in high school and I got to college. I really focused my relationship on God. And then it was the summer in between my sophomore and junior year at Azusa Pacific University, home of the Cougars. Rawr.
Wow. They're not even paying us. You're promoting them and they're not even paying us.
Christ Fellowship Community Service.
Oh my gosh. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to see you do it for your college. Let's see.
Point Loma Nazarene University, home of the Slugs or Sea Lions. What are we? I forget. We had a beach real close by us.
We had everything.
You had smog. Keep going.
All right. So It was that summer, and
ooh, that's going to be fun because we have some listeners who are diehard APU fans.
Yes,
and I remember when I joined this community, which you were already part of. The fact that I was from Point Loma made me kind of an outcast. I was like an ostracized, marginalized part of the friend group.
You were so much of an outcast, you started singing, "Hey, yeah."
Wow, that is a throwback. That's good. Now, but honestly, Point Loma is a significantly superior school than APU.
And I
just want to give a shout out. We got this friend, this mutual friend named Eric, right? And Eric, yes. Nelson. I mean, I used to tease the guy like crazy. I'll stand by it. Point Loma is a far superior university than APU. And Eric, I'm just calling you out, bro. I want to hear why you think APU is better than Point Loma.
Well, I'll go ahead and share it with you. One reason.
We'll make him listen.
Okay. So, sophomore, junior year, I was a part of an orientation program. So, orientation, people come to school and they want to learn about APU. And so, I was an orientation leader. Okay. So was Rebecca. And now, there's a rule when you're a part of the orientation program, you can't date.
Now, Rob, I have a question for you, and I want you to finish your story. But I just have a question I want you to think about to tease the audience, and I want you to answer at the end. Is there such thing as soulmates? Like, is Becca your soulmate? Is she like the one? Because I'm very opinionated on this question. You may not be, I'm not sure, but is Becca your soulmate? Pause, answer that at the end of the time you share in your story.
Ooh, Eric, again, that good hosting.
That was good.
Good hosting tease. Yeah. So we were orientation leaders, we can't date. And right. So we, just like you suggested, we were great friends. We hung out together, we just had our friends hang out together, and then it was on November 10th. Like we just hung out with each other. Like she admitted to me, like she, oh, I need tutoring for things, and she would come over and be, oh, I'm being so nice to her. Come to find out,
because you're one of the smartest people I know. Honestly, Rob, you're an incredibly smart guy and gifted, and you're great with people. You're awesome. I mean, you are a triple threat. You are a quadruple threat. You are a octo threat. You are an octo threat.
That, don't put me in the same ballpark as Octomom. Okay.
She's not an octo threat. She's just an octomom. You're an octo threat.
Eric, I'm turning all red. I mean, again, face for radio. Luckily, I don't get to see. So we were dating at November 10th, like the program ended. Yeah. And because we had such a great friendship.
Ah, there it is.
Again, we were just able to get to know each other without this pressure of like, oh, I have to kiss her or like I have to do all these things. It's no, we were just great friends and I really got to know her. And then ultimately it just blossomed from there. And then we dated for a few years, and then we got engaged and married in 2010. And the last thing I'll say, we got married on 10-10-10.
Dude, that's awesome. And your proposal, he proposed at Buca di Beppo, filmed it. In fact, the ring company they went with, which we're not going to promote the ring company until they're ready to maybe throw us some money. But the ring company that Rob used actually loved his proposal video so much that they used it in a commercial. Is that true?
That's correct.
Oh, that's amazing.
All right, Eric, you.
So, all right, so real quick, and then we'll answer that question. Is there such thing as soulmates? Because I think that's kind of an interesting question. So Sarah and I, Rob began his story saying that he dated a lot in high school. I'll begin my story this way. I wanted to date a lot in high school, but just didn't have the same opportunities. Part of that was because I didn't get hair on my legs until I was 18.
And we all know women, that's like their number one thing.
I had a higher pitched voice, always looked amazing. I mean, that was
never a question.
Never a question. And our listeners can't really see me physically, but you'll just have to take my word for it. The looks were not the issue. It was more just the high pitched voice. And I don't know. The girls just, I don't know. It just didn't happen for me. Thought about dating in high school, longed to date in high school, didn't date in
high
school.
Because you had your eyes only on one woman.
That's right. Now, that you bring something up. I actually met Sarah my freshman year of high school. She was a junior, and so she was a whole two grades ahead of us.
Oh, she's a cradle robber.
She's a cradle robber. Now, she was like the queen, the goddess of our high school ministry. I mean, everybody loved her. She was so beautiful. She was so nice. She was so kind. She loved Jesus. I mean, she is, if you're an octa threat, she is a centa threat. Centa meaning 100. A centa threat.
Oh, very good.
That's pretty
good.
That's a milla threat. Million.
That would just be 50,000.
Okay, fair enough. She's it, right? And so I was crazy about her from the very beginning. I thought she's amazing. My voice would crack when I would talk with her. Well, then come the end of high school, I stay local. I intern with my church. I call her up and I say, Sarah, Our church is going on a young adult retreat. You should totally come. She says, amazing. I wanted to drive her. Last minute, my youth pastor doesn't let me drive her because I have to drive some other people. So we're up at this conference and we're driving back. And I remember we're having this conversation and I just look back at her and I go, Sarah, you're beautiful. You're amazing. You're awesome. And I just felt like, man, I got to keep talking to this girl. So I bought her a book. This is a great strategy. I bought her a book. We began to read a book together. Though we were long distance, we would call each other and talk to each other about this book and what we thought about it. Then she started to catch on that I liked her. She actually paid her friends to like go on dates with us. Like I would invite her to go to a concert and then she would pay for her friends to go to the concert. I'd invite her out to like ice cream or something. She'd like strongly suggest her friends to come with us. So really there was no sparks flying for her. And then basically we went to this missions conference, flew out there.
Was she missionary dating you?
No, there was no dating at this point. We were just doing the best friend thing. I wanted to date her, but she wasn't ready for that. I think my overwhelming attraction was a lot for her. Mm. You know, I think she couldn't handle those feelings early on. And so we went to this missions conference, basically flew out there. She had no feelings for me. We flew back home and she said she had feelings for me and it was amazing. And we dated.
Suddenly hair started growing in your legs.
They did. It did. It was the magic number. So all of a sudden we started dating and tried to be really intentional in that. We were engaged for a year, almost a year. And then we were married and we've been married 7 years.
That's correct.
7 years. And that's amazing and awesome. And yeah, now we have kids and it's incredible. So I just want to ask you, and we may have different answers. That's okay. Is Becca your soulmate? Is there such a thing as a soulmate? Let's answer. This will be fun. We're going to answer either yes or no. Is there such thing as soulmates? Is there such thing as soulmates? On the count of three, just say yes or no. Are you ready? One, two, three.
After
no.
Oh, you revealed your answer already. Just kidding. We're not going to go to break.
We're not going to go to break. So great. So now I answered no. What is your answer?
I'm also going to say no because Rebecca and I are different shoe sizes.
Nice. Okay. Here's why. Because I think if people think that they have like a specific soulmate out there, then they're going to assume that everything's going to work out fine between them. But there is so much in the Bible about how to make a great marriage that I just think it's a choice. I think that God reveals things to you. Maybe he lines up people in your path who would be, you know, great fits. But ultimately, I think God gives us the freedom to choose who we're going to marry and to make wise decisions. Now, I think there are better decisions and there are worse decisions for who you're going to marry. But in terms of there being a soulmate, there's just no talk about it in the Bible. And so I'm leaning towards there's not a soulmate. But there are better choices. And so be wise and discerning.
Hmm. So my honest answer is also no, because right. Like you develop this attraction for somebody and it's so much about like what they're doing at that time in your life. Like when we were both in college, we loved being able to pour into other people and we still do, but lives change so drastically, like from college to just after college and your career, when you have kids, when you make a commitment to love your wife or love your spouse, it's a commitment that to like, when you change, I will love you for who you are, not I will love you for who you were.
Oh, wow. That's good.
And so for a soulmate, like I wouldn't say that we have a soulmate. It's that we continue to fall in love all over again for the heart and soul they have for Jesus, but for whatever they happen to be passionate about in that time in their life.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So that's what I would say. All right, Eric, we're going to take our final break. Okay. And when we come back, we're going to get to our free form frenzy, try to answer as many questions as we can that come in from our listeners and our following. Yeah. And we're going to try to get through as many as we can here at the end. And then we're going to wrap things up. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be back after this break. Again, you can maybe be a part of it. Text in right now, 909-713-4152. Again, 909-413-4152, and we will be right back after this little break. All right, we're back in our very first inaugural HSM podcast, and Eric, it's already over. This is our last segment.
This has been so fun.
It has been a lot of fun. And so our last segment is questions that we're getting from all of our following and our listeners that are texting in at 909-713-4152.
Yeah.
And also our email address, purposehsmpodcast@gmail.com. And the goal of this segment, we're going to try to fire through as many questions as we can.
Let's do it.
And Eric, I got your first question.
All right, what is it?
The first question we're going to get to is, what are our bodies like when we get to heaven?
This was asked by Cedric, who's a student in our group, and I love that. Good job, Cedric. You're the man. Hey, that's a great question. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 40. Paul says this, "There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another." Jump down to verse 42. "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, and it is raised imperishable." Here's what I think Paul's saying here. I think he's saying that when we experience the resurrection, that when Christ returns and we are raised back to life, that it will be the bodies that we're in right now, but in a perfected sense. Mm. And so our bodies absolutely matter to God. And our bodies will be these kinds of bodies, but in a perfected way. And I don't fully know what that means exactly. But I know that we will have bodies. And I'm hoping I'll be like 6'8", maybe I'll have a 12-pack. I'm not sure.
Hey, and
I got a 10-pack, but I'm hoping for a 12-pack.
Right. 12-pack of like Capri Sun.
Exactly. My question for you, Rob, is this. Somebody asked, can you explain Jacob wrestling with God? Like, did he actually wrestle with God? What was going on there?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you answered that question. And I'm so glad I answered this question because my goal this month is actually to read the story, which is a prose version of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And this is something I just read. Mm-hmm. And Jacob wrestling with God, again, God can do the supernatural, like God parting the Red Sea, God changing water to wine. Like, he could do all that great stuff. And God did all these crazy supernatural things in Scripture. And I believe that he can do whatever he wants. So Jacob wrestling with God, God's omnipresent. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that Jacob was wrestling because, again, he was wrestling with the fact he was about to see his brother Esau, and he was worried because Jacob, in the story, actually steals Esau's birthright and inheritance.
Oh, wow.
And so Jacob was wrestling with God, like saying, should I go back? Is he going to kill me? And he was wrestling with this idea, like, I don't know. What should I do? And so he was wrestling with God because God said, no, whatever I've given this to you, I will also multiply in Esau because you are the descendants of Jacob, descendant of Abraham.
So you're saying it's kind of like a metaphorical wrestling and maybe a physical, miraculous wrestling.
It actually looks and it feels that like actual physical wrestling. So anyway, but God could do the supernatural.
Well, I have an answer, man.
All right, Eric, one more question for you.
Yeah.
It doesn't specifically talk about pot.
Oh, wow, marijuana. All right.
But does God care if I smoke?
Now, in California, we just had like this big vote, right, on marijuana stuff, and it's crazy. And I can't really talk about medicinal marijuana. I don't know. But I think what this question is asking is, hey, like, is it okay if me and my friends, like, smoke a joint? Like, is it cool if we do that? Well, here's the verse I would look at. I would look at Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So there's nothing in the Bible. They're right. There's nothing in the Bible about specifically marijuana. There is a lot in the Bible about alcohol and about using substances that change us in a way where we're not filled by the Spirit anymore, but we're filled and altered and changed by something else. And so I would say stay away from marijuana because it is inhibiting you and holding you back from being filled by the Holy Spirit.
Man, that's really good.
Rob, do you have time for one more question?
No, Eric, that's all the time we got. I'm so sorry. Man. All right, next time. Eric, what a great first podcast.
This has been awesome. We just fist bumped.
Yes, we did, because they couldn't see that.
Yeah.
All right, so again, if you want to be a part of this, again, maybe you heard your question, make sure you tweet us out.
Tweet us out?
Tweet us out.
The Instagram and
out. Again, by tweeting us out, you are Eric H. Holmstrom.
Yep.
On Twitter, Instagram.
Yep.
And I'm at Rob Schwant.
That's right.
And then, of course, we have our text number.
909-713-4152. Or emails. You know what I would love to get is like articles. If you're like, hey, I want you guys to comment on this article. Super controversial. Wear it down. We want to talk about diversity. We want to talk about relationships. Again, there's so much more to talk about. We want to talk about issues that are going on in your life, whatever they may be, anything happening in culture. We want to chat about it. So you can email that to us at purposehsmpodcast@gmail.com.
So again, there's so many ways to get involved. We're going to blast it on social media when we're doing it next, when to listen. But this is the word we say goodbye. Eric, any final words?
Bye.
And goodbye. God bless you. May he keep you and help you prosper. We love you guys. Until next time, have a great day, night.
Yeah, whatever you're doing.
All right.